really had to stick by the radio and listen to overseas radio and things like that to even hear good rock records, you know. Little Richard and things like that. But, you know, not that that's got guitar influence, but the record that made me want to play guitar was Baby Let's Play House, Presley. I thought, you know, I just heard sort of two guitars and a bass and thought, yeah, that's it, I want to be part of this. Any doubt. It just sounded so, you know, so, there's so much vitality and energy coming out of it. It was definitely on.
When did you get your first guitar?
When I was about 14 or so.
That late?
15. And there wasn't anybody who could, you know, sort of play, so it's all a matter of trying to pick up tips and learn and stuff. There weren't many tutor books either, really, apart from jazz, which had no bearing on rock and roll whatsoever at that time.
Right. What kind of guitar was it?
Grazioso, which I don't think you'd even... It looked like a copy of a Stratocaster, and I got a Stratocaster. And then one of those Black Beauties, which stayed with me for a long time. But some thieving magpie took it to his nest. Over here. It's over here. Right. But it's the guitar that I did all the 60s sessions on when I got involved in it.
Were your parents musical at all?
No. Not at all. No, it was an adventure of solitude, really, you know.
Did they mind you getting in?
No, not at all. No, I think they were quite relieved to see something being done instead of artwork, which they thought was a loser's game anyway.
So you were playing guitar at 14, did you get in the
band? Not really, I wasn't really playing it properly, I was just... I had a few bits of solos and things up in it. Not much. But it was all learning from records, really. That was a thing. You had to sort of just keep getting records and learning that way. And it was just the obvious influences at the beginning. Scotty Moore, James Burton, Cliff Gallop, as I said, Gene Vincent's guitar, Johnny Meeks later. And those seemed to be the most, you know, the most sustaining influences, until one had sort of Elmer James, B.B. King, people like that. And but I was into basically that was it from the start, a mixture between rock and blues. And then I sort of stretched out a lot more when I started doing studio work. I mean, I had to, because it wasn't like it is here as specialists. It's all but you could be doing a film session one night, or say one morning, do three sessions a day, and then there'd be something like a rock band, and then maybe a folk one in the evening. You didn't know what was coming. You didn't, sometimes you knew, but only say 10% of the time. And you know, I just really had to really, well, it was a good disciplinary area really to work in. And it also gave me a chance to stretch out on all the different styles, you know.
What was the first band you were ever in?
There were lots of little bands and just friends and then. And you eventually found people that were, you know, that were playing as well. Oh, I played in all different small bands, really. But nothing that you could ever get any records on.
Yeah. What kind of guitar and stuff were you like using with Neil Christian? What kind of music was that?
Chuck Berry. It was before the Stones happened and all that. And they were interested in Chuck Berry. Well, we were doing Chuck Berry, but I did Lee and Gene Vincent things, mainly. And, they just, at the time, the public taste was more engineered towards top 10 records. So it was a bit of a struggle. And, but you'd always get, like, a section of the audience that were into what you were doing, you know. But then you'd just find the other people who just went there just to sort of, obviously, you know, just get lucky or whatever. And listen to the top 10. But which you weren't doing. But, anyway, I sort of stopped playing. I went to art college for about 2 years. I was concentrating more on blues playing than on my own. And then from the art college, there was like the Marquee Club in London, which had like Cyril Davis. You see, this, now by this time, it just started happening, all that stuff had come around again. So I used to go up and just jam on a Thursday night with the Interlude Band. And somebody came up to me and said, would you like to play on a record? I said, yeah, why not? And it did quite well. And that was it after that. I can't remember the title of it now. By Carter Lewis. The name of the group was Carter Lewis. And from that point I suddenly started getting all this studio work coming in. And there's a, you know, like a crossroads. Is it art or is it gonna be music? Or is music art? Well, anyway, I had to stop going to the art college because I was really getting into it, because there's no other guitarist there. There's only one other guy. And he was a little bit older than I was, well, about 4 years older.
Jim Sarver?
Yeah. And he was really brilliant. But it was just that was it. They just, like, just had the two of us, if they, you know, could. Because they knew we used to work together really well. And that was it. Doing all the sessions that you've heard about and stuff. Until a point came where the Stax music. Well, not after that, really. When it was more, in, you know, geared towards brass and orchestral stuff. And the guitar started to take a back trend, you know. Right. Just the occasional riff. And I remember there was a rock and roll, there was about 6 months of that, and I hadn't realised just how rusty I was going to get until a rock and roll session turned up from France. And I could hardly play the, you know, I could hardly do it the way I wanted to do it. And I thought, this is time to get out. And I did, I just stopped.